You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic, holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Sometimes taking antibiotics is absolutely necessary when you have something like a raging infection in your leg or you have a seeping tooth abscess. But all too often, the antibacterial agents can knock off too many colonies of healthy bacteria in the digestive tract, allowing opportunistic ones to surge in numbers, such as Clostridium difficile bacteria, or C. diff for short. Now, C. diff is a microbe that naturally lives in small numbers in our gut microbiome, but it becomes a problem when antibiotics come into play because these critters, which can be resistant to the drugs, can grow exponentially, causing painful diarrhea colitis, which can be deadly. For sure. Now, in fact, according to the CDC, in 2012, around 350,000 Americans were diagnosed with C. diff colitis, and 14,000 of them died from it. Now, C. diff is very difficult to get rid of, and it spreads quickly. But there is a new therapy that may just be the cure for the problem, and it's called fecal microbiota transplantation, aka FMT. Now, stool from a healthy donor is implanted into the C. diff patient's colon through an enema, and it's working. 90% of the C. diff infections that people have who get FMT heal miraculously. Today on Wellness for Life, we have Saffron Cassaday, a documentary filmmaker and director of the new film Designer Shit. Now, I think this is the first time using a slang word on my show. Okay, so Saffron herself suffered from a debilitating gut condition for the past 10 years and went on a journey to determine if fecal microbiota transplantation could potentially cure her disease. Welcome, Saffron. So glad to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You bet. So, first of all, how did you come up with that name? Is it all about expensive poop?
It could be expensive. I mean, there are over 200 clinical trials going on right now. Testing FMT for a variety of illnesses. So I think, you know, this is something that's going to be booming in the near future. And we're still, you know, trying to figure out how it's going to be marketed and in what format it's going to, you know, be released. You know, there could be a pill. So there's no shortage of kind of pharmaceutical companies jumping on board, clinics that are willing to offer this.
Well, FMT, you know, I know about it because I treat a great deal of gut issues, gut conditions, including, you know, Crohn's disease, autoimmune conditions, but also with C. diff. And so majority of my patients with C. diff, I do it all naturally. We do it with different types of lifestyle changes, eating kimchi and high levels of probiotics. But I found that some cases you absolutely... using FMT really was the only way. So I'd like to ask you, you know, you doing all the research, what are the different ways that someone can get FMT?
Well, right now it's kind of limited to clinical trials. If you have C. diff, there is an exception where you can get this done in a hospital or a clinic. But other than that, the FDA has put a ruling on it where, you know, it's kind of strange, but, you know, when it comes to health treatment, it's either ruled as a drug or a tissue. And when it came to fecal matter, the FDA kind of went, what do we do with this? What category do we put it in? But because, you know, what we're using it for to treat or mitigate an illness technically falls in the drug definition, they ruled it as a drug. And because we don't have a replicable kind of formula for right now, it's kind of an illegal drug. The FDA has put a ban on it. So it is really difficult for patients to get access to this treatment. If you have C. diff, it's a little easier. But, you know, if you're suffering from Crohn's and colitis, and we're seeing amazing trials coming out right now showing, you know, 25 to 30% efficacy for these conditions, and you really want to try it, you know, you're going to be hit with some red tape. Some doctors will kind of go on a limb and help you test your own donor so that you can do it at home. But in my experience, I've found it's even hard to find a doctor willing to test your donor for you because of the FDA regulations that are kind of scaring doctors away from this new kind of alternative treatment.
I know of a friend of mine. He's really well known in the brain sector. He's a medical doctor, and he's using it with autistic children. And there, he's teaching them how to do it. And my goodness, is he getting great results? The changes in the children have been phenomenal where, you know, they barely can even speak any words and they're stimming a lot and they're having behavioral, of course, and mental breakdowns. And now they're going to school. Now they're speaking, right? And it's so incredibly miraculous.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen for so long this connection between the gut and the brain. You know, I've heard a stat that says 90% of your serotonin receptors are in the gut. So, you know, some of these clinical trials that are going on are around depression and anxiety. Maybe if we manipulate something in the gut, it can affect what's going on in our brains. And even Parkinson's, you know, I spoke to a researcher who is doing clinical trials on Parkinson's right now because he is a GI who is treating a lot of Parkinson's patients who suffer from constipation. He said, you know, in this population, there's a huge percentage, about 80% of them, that also suffer from constipation. And sometimes when you treat the constipation, some of the symptoms of the Parkinson's go away. So in his clinical trial, he's seeing about 10% of Parkinson's patients have their symptoms reversed. 10% is not a huge number, but it's still, you know, it's showing us that there's a clue in there, there's a hint. And by focusing on the gut, we're really going to come up with some great answers.
I find actually 10% is a lot, you know, because Parkinson's is a disease that progresses and gets worse. It's not like someone would say, you know what, my Parkinson's is getting better, right? So to me, 10% is a great deal. What's interesting is that it's 10% of the people, it's with using a technique that doesn't involve drug therapy, that doesn't involve surgical procedures. That's what's great.
With you 100%. Like with my condition, ulcerative colitis, you know, some of the first studies were coming out showing that FMT was effective like 25 to 30% of the time. And some people went, that's not a lot. That's not significant enough. That wasn't a huge finding. But then you look at what the efficacy is for biologic drugs that a lot of people with these autoimmune conditions are put on, where, you know, it's a drug that's completely suppressing the immune system. Those are about 25 to 30% effective as well, and they're extremely expensive, and they can have long-term damage. So to me, 25%, 10%, you know, it's nothing to scoff at. These are really, really impressive numbers and something really exciting that we should be looking at.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about your condition, you know, what you've been suffering with. And it seems to me that this is what got you excited about going into making this film, the documentary.
Yeah, absolutely. I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis at 22 years old, and my theory is that it was brought on by antibiotic use. I went on really hardcore antibiotic called Accutane for acne, and after that, you know, I kept developing these weird stomach bugs, and when I developed these weird stomach bugs, the answer was always to put me on more antibiotics. So, you know, there was like a period of a year or two where I was just flooded with antibiotics. And then one day I developed these really kind of debilitating symptoms and was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. And throughout my journey with ulcerative colitis, I have really experimented with diet. I used a specific carbohydrate diet, which I found very beneficial. And it specifically focuses on kind of manipulating the gut bacteria, eating foods that feed the healthy bacteria and starve out the bad bacteria. So because that diet worked for me, and it doesn't work for everybody, but because it worked for me and I thought that my condition was brought on by antibiotics, it made sense to me that, you know, furthering that kind of focus on the gut by, you know, focusing on something like FMT could be beneficial for my condition. So that's really where my interest came from. And I found it kind of difficult to find information on it. My GI didn't have a lot of information on it because, you know, the trials are still new and fresh and he wasn't really up to date. So I was doing a lot of my own research, and it can be hard to decipher online what you're reading. I'm seeing great clinical trials. I'm seeing great anecdotes from the blogs and forums that I go to. But, you know, you always wonder, can I trust this anecdote? I want to speak to the researchers. I want to know what the real deal is and if this can help me. So that's why I decided to make this documentary film. I don't think I'm alone in, you know, wanting some really kind of concise, clear answers on what this treatment can do for people.
You know, I've seen a lot of video on YouTube about how do it yourself, you know, how you do it your own. But I think what's really important is the donor. I cannot express enough how important it is for the donor stool, the fecal matter, to be, I don't want to say clean because it's loaded with bacteria, but one where it's completely balanced. Because I know there's been studies where if you get a donor then that's, let's say it's comes from an obese or an overweight person or someone who's got high anxiety, then your bacteria content in, that goes in will be skewed. And that can actually switch you. That can shift your metabolic ability to, you know, take calories in. It'll affect your ability to make good neurotransmitters. So can you talk a little bit about that? And how do you screen? How do you screen it?
Yeah, absolutely. Donor is so important. And if you look at Open Biome, which is the largest stool bank in North America, they have a really strict donor protocol where only 3% of people who apply to be stool donors get in. And they won't release the exact list of what they're looking for, but I know some of the things include, like you mentioned, any history of metabolic condition, any history of mental illness, any history of cancer. Basically, you and your family members have to have a completely clean bill of health that anything that might lie in your genetics that could be passed on is kind of, you know, eliminated. But when you're doing it on your own, you're basically looking for the healthiest person you can find. Hopefully somebody who doesn't have any of these illnesses that could be transferred by FMT. And at that point, before you begin FMT, obviously you have to do some blood testing and stool testing. People are concerned about, you know, possibly passing on blood-related illnesses like HIV or hepatitis, or, you know, some sort of bacterial infection in the stool, like if the person had an E. coli infection or something like that. So you just screen for those things before you use a donor's stool at home.
You know, it's really funny. We're talking about FMT today. This week, just this week, my patient Allison asked me if I can give her my stool because I'm Korean. I'm Korean, Zavron, and I've been eating kimchi my whole life. You know, I'm in my mid-50s now. And people are just amazed by how much kimchi I eat. And I know that I've done all the research on kimchi. In fact, I'm coming out with a book, The Kimchi Diet, in April of this year, springtime. And it's all about utilizing the ferments, the fermented food, and how kimchi can revive your gut and restore the functionality, inflammation, joint pain, skin issues, you name it. You know, it's all about the gut. So when my patient, because she's got definitely gut issues, she came to me because of her gut pain and severe dysbiosis. She actually knew about FMT and asked me about I know she was kind of jokingly said it, but in a serious way, she was looking for someone with a healthy gut.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, this is where the title designer shit comes from. It sounds like you might have designer shit. Maybe you could make a quick buck off of it.
I would just be interested to submit it just to see what Open Biome says. So, you know, because I want to know, you know, is there anything else? Now, I do stool testing on myself twice a year because I'm always looking and making sure my body and internally, inside and out, I'm on the right path. And this is what we all have to do. We all should be checking our stool to see if you've got any inflammatory markers in there, or if you've got a dysbiosis or imbalance in the different types of facultative. And these are our bacteria that are naturally in our body. We've got in our gut, we've got trillions and trillions of bacteria, and we want to know more about it. There's not enough stool tests available, I think, not just yet, but there's more and more people are coming out with these stool tests. I use Genova. I use GI Maps. I use different types of, and now I think I'm going to hit on my open biome to see, is my, my stool viable?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we've seen that more diverse gut bacteria leads to better health. And, you know, a lot of people who suffer from these various autoimmune conditions or even allergies are often people who have very low diversity in their gut bacteria. So that's something that you can test for. You know, you can kind of test, you know, against the general population, how diverse is my gut bacteria? But an interesting thing happened in one of the clinical trials for ulcerative colitis where they took 5 donors and all of these donors were health superstars, right? These were super, super healthy people, all with very diverse gut bacteria. But when they started using these donors to treat colitis patients, one was by far way better than the others. Like one person did most of the curing. One person didn't cure anybody. And it's just strange because it's not like, you know, this is a healthy person versus a not so healthy person. They were both equally healthy on paper. Looking at their, you know, the bacteria in their gut, you wouldn't necessarily know what the difference was. So now there's a lot of research going into what does this one person, it was donor B, there was donors A through E, but donor B was the winner. So they're kind of looking at donor B and going, what does donor B have in his or her stool that's specifically good for colitis? You know, and maybe in the future we'll find out that there will be a donor C that's really good for psoriasis. So there's a donor D. So, you know, we're finding out more and more that, you know, obviously diverse gut bacteria is good, but there may be a specific combination of gut bacteria that's specifically good for certain illnesses.
Now, that totally makes sense because, I mean, there is a term called psychobiotics, different types of probiotics that can have an effect on your mood and behavior, you know, whether it's for GABA, the neurotransmitter GABA. Some bacteria produce more GABA, others produce more serotonin. So it can definitely be tweaked so that, you know, in the future is really about what type of bacteria to take in so that you can shift your mood and your emotional states. And you know what? I know for a fact, at least for me, I've got a huge diverse microbiota, and that's from eating kimchi. What's interesting is that whatever is in kimchi, the three types of bacteria, it's usually Lactobacillus, Weissella, and Leuconostoc, these three strains, although when you look at it, these are the highest levels of bacteria in kimchi, it really changes the different bacterias in your gut. What I mean is that that's not what they find. If you eat, you're a kimchi eater, that is not what you find. Those are not the bugs that you find in the gut. What it does is it just manages your diversity, which is super fascinating. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. That's very interesting. Yeah, because I've heard that, you know, sometimes the probiotics that we eat either in yogurt or in kimchi, you know, these are probiotics that live well on food but don't live in our gut. So maybe they're not sticking around in our gut, but while they're in there, while they're passing through, they're definitely doing a certain job, which is, you know, helping the overall function and helping your bugs kind of grow and become more diverse. Very interesting.
It is super interesting. I mean, this is what the science says, you know, kimchiology, this, the science of kimchi. I studied that. It's in my book, The Kimchi Diet. And I went to Korea on a self-funded trip, research trip, just last year in the summer. And it was all about finding out from all of the scientists. It's incredibly huge in Korea, the science of kimchi. And that's the reason why I wrote the book, is to broaden it out, bring it out to the globally so people can understand how kimchi can make a huge impact on your life. And one of the interesting thing when it comes to that is that if you start having little bits of fermented food, little by little, the shift is not just from the kimchi bacteria itself, but the postbiotic. Postbiotic, saffron, the postbiotic is like the waste or the metabolic waste of the bacteria. So there are these organic acids that come out with that these bacteria produce. Apparently now that's the new area of medicine too, is that when it comes to gut microbiome, what are the acids that are changing the microbiome terrain, the acids? And maybe that's the reason why it changes the different kinds of bacterial growth, whether it's going to be positive or negative.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. All this talk about kimchi, you've got me craving some. I'm going to have to go and get some kimchi after this phone call.
You bet.
You've sold me.
I love it. I make kimchi, you know, twice a month. I make new ones. You just see my kimchi refrigerator. I've got like 24, usually 25 bottles going all at different fermentations. And because it does change as you take kimchi when it's fresh to getting a little bit older, more riper, the bacteria will change. And so it will help. So you and I are going to have to get together and I'm going to have to teach you how to make some.
Yeah, seriously, I'd love that.
That's the best way, you know, because you want organic. Most kimchis that are out there commercially, they're good tasting, but I'm going to tell you what I found out. They actually add sugar And not sugar as in regular real sugar. I should say sugar sweetener. And I found out that they might not label it. And at restaurants and things like that, restaurant kimchis, they do have that as well. So you want to be careful. If you're sensitive to artificial sweeteners, it may be in them. And they use MSG in it too. You know, but if you make your own or you go to any of the health food stores like Erewhon or I go to the co-op and all that. I make my own, but I send my patients locally here in L.A., to go to, you know, these various health food stores where that you can find organic kimchi. But I'll tell you, it doesn't taste the same unless you make it. You know, you got to make your own. You can go to my website, by the way.
Making my own.
Yeah, Saffron, you know, on my website, if you go on to drsuzanne.com, you'll find there's a pop-up. You got to wait 5 seconds, but there's a pop-up. And there's a opt-in for my kimchi, Magic of Kimchi download. I have the cucumber kimchi. For anyone who's got gut issues, you actually want to start with cucumber kimchi. People don't realize that because cucumber kimchi is not a FODMAP. It's a low FODMAP vegetable. Are you familiar with FODMAP?
I am, yeah.
Yes, yes. And so FODMAPs, obviously, you're probably very familiar because it helps you with your colitis. But so cucumber kimchi, I have a recipe right there. So check it out, Saffron. I want to hear from you. And you tell me if you like it and if you've been improving with that.
Oh, yeah, I will for sure.
Great. Thank you. You know, let's go back to the do-it-yourself, DIY fecal transplantation. What are some of the possible risks, you know, besides what we spoke about, the changes in, you know, your weight gain? What other things can you see?
Honestly, it's extremely safe. Like, it's surprisingly safe. We're talking about poop, which I know is like disgusting and dirty, and the thought of getting it even on your hands or anywhere, you think that that's something dirty that could make you sick. But it's surprisingly safe to take poop from somebody else and put it up somebody else's butt. In clinical trials, you know, if there were any negative side effects reported, these are things like some people will report additional flatulence or a bit of dizziness. But those side effects are reported equally across the control and the placebo group. So, you know, we haven't really seen many side effects. There have been weird side effects, like, you know, an alopecia patient who had C. diff, who got FMT for C. diff, completely cured their C. diff, but also, like, their hair started growing back. So things like that can happen. If, you know, you could touch on an autoimmune function. If you have an autoimmune condition, you could see benefits. But in terms of side effects of, like, dangers of, like, is this going to make you sick? Honestly, the research that we're seeing right now is telling us that it's pretty safe. The biggest thing is that if people do want to try it themselves and, you know, for certain conditions, if people are really suffering and at the end of their ropes with the current medication they're on, I think they should be able to try this, and there needs to be a better method for them being able to access this treatment in a safe way where they have a safe donor that's been screened, because that would be the biggest problem if they just go ahead and do it with a donor that's, like, not appropriate or not properly screened.
Such a good point. You know, I want people to also realize is every one of us who've been delivered vaginally through the vagina gets your microbiome from your mother, this native flora that you get as you're coming out of the vaginal canal, the birth canal. That's where you get your first inoculation, your first experience with actually the flora coming from your mother. So it's not, I don't want people to think this is a dirty thing, and this is really can be life changing, you know? And thank goodness that you're actually making this film, Designer Shit, documentary. You can find the information. Where can we find out more information about it?
Designershitdocumentary.com. And we have a Facebook and Instagram page where you can follow us and get updates on the film and when it's going to be released.
So when is it going to be released? Because I really am interested in watching it and sharing it with my audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're hoping to be finished by, like, late spring or summer. I'm editing it right now, so I'm, like, you know, deep into it, just rushing to get it done. So hopefully, you know, by spring, summer, we'll have it out, and I'll let you know.
And when it's out, where type of platforms will we see it? Is it just on your website? The designershitdocumentary.com website, or is there somewhere else that we will have to look out for?
We're not sure yet. We're producing it independently, so it for sure will be on iTunes, but probably other platforms as well. And we hope to do some community screenings when we first roll it out. So, you know, in various cities, to be able to, you know, get into a theater and have groups of people who are interested in the subject and kind of naturopaths and doctors in that area who are interested in it as well. You know, best thing about documentary films is that when people see it, they can be inspired to want to, you know, go out and do something about it. And so it helps to watch the film, you know, with a group of people who are like-minded, who, you know, you can team together and actually get to work and maybe do a fecal transplant yourself if it's something you want to try.
Saffron, I really want to be able to support you in this documentary. Please make sure that you send information to our producer so that I get information, or you know, you and I can chat behind the scenes so that I will bring my patients and have us watch it if it's going to be locally here in Santa Monica, anywhere in Los Angeles. So excited.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
Okay. Thank you so much. Wow. Amazing, interesting subject. This is great. Thank you so much for listening to the show. And I know you've learned a great deal of valuable information here. So do share the show with your loved ones. It can truly change their life for the better. Now, if this show is your first time listening, make sure to subscribe so I can continue to serve you with the most current natural health information available today. Also, connect with me on Instagram at Dr. Suzanne. I post regularly and to teach you how to become your best version of self through nutrition, self-care, lifestyle, and kimchi. And what's great is that you can engage with me directly there. Yes, I do respond to all of the comments personally. And if you need to any help in digging deeper with your health issues, I work with people globally. So through phone or Skype, FaceTime, you can get my contact info on my website at Dr. Suzanne. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.